Welcome back to Deep Thoughts, ladies and gentlemen. It's been so long since I recorded, I forgot to push record on the camera. I had a power situation just before that, so I was focusing on that. So it's been a couple weeks since I did an original episode, other than the last one that was talking about the issues we have with YouTube, which I think we should be safe moving forward, because they had to reach way back in the catalog to find something. And I'm going to do a little spring cleaning in there, because I made episodes in various areas as special reports that I didn't mean to keep on there forever. And apparently I need to delete them from the channel. Even if I pull them out of circulation, they will still be on BitChute. They will still be potentially on Odyssey, which linked everything over from YouTube. I did a count on Odyssey. It does not have all the episodes. It looks like they have 300 and some 60 episodes back. So BitChute is your big alternative, but just go to deepthoughtsradio.com, really, and just search through the category fields. If you do find an episode that's missing, that means I need to bring it over from BitChute if it's really old, or I might use Odyssey moving forward for now, because when you push play, that baby just goes, man. It doesn't take any streaming, but God bless all of them for putting together something. So what this episode is going to be about is obviously the tumultuous process of dealing with crises in our life, not just in the last year and a half, but in our entire life. And the discipline I'm going to put on this episode is the following. We are going to mention in our comments and everything specific things, but the goal is simply to identify it, see how these things have impacted us, and discuss strategies to get through this successfully. And some of the tricks might be just low-hanging fruit that you've always known, and other things might be a surprise to you, depending on how old you are, what kind of crises you've dealt with in the past. Because face it, there are people out there that haven't dealt with this kind of stuff before in their life, and it's daunting and it's scary. I'm finding in my own circles, the older you are, the more this stuff just can take you over barriers. I mean, you know, it freak you out and cause alcoholism and all kinds of other drug abuse and potentially even hurting yourself. So I don't know how many of those listeners I have. You know, I'm struggling just like everybody else. You know, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know, other than having a big giant bankroll sitting aside, which I no longer have, that sort of thing. And even if you did, I mean, geez, you know, your bills are your bills. And if you're not making any money, you can suck down $100,000 and lickety split, especially in a year. So, especially after taxes, right? So what I want to do is go ahead and start off with last year and how it impacted us. And then we're going to branch out to previous experiences and then just discuss all the strategies, because this might ease some of your understandable concerns, fears, frustrations, because we don't have to take on the entire world's burden as much as they want us to. And there are simple changes to our lives that will absolutely reset such a thing out of our lives and get you back on track, because you got to focus on your immediate circle, right? So this thing happened last year. I think for most countries, it hit about March 2020 due to something that spawned someplace else the previous year. We were all concerned because, even yours truly, we had no data at all. It was just a rumor. And we have seen movies where they've totally enacted this kind of thing, where, you know, from Andromeda Strain all the way to current films. And so we also, the more that you're conscious, you have heard, you know, about techniques that potentially could be used to cause a lot of mayhem in the world. We'd also had a pretty tumultuous process here starting last November in America, which then came to a peak in January. And even that data was all over the place, like what happened, and gosh, you know, is this orchestrated, is this not? Didn't know. So by March, we were kind of, depending on who you were, we were sort of let down that things went differently in the United States, because I do think that there's a lot of non-United States citizens watching who are relying on the United States to get it right, such that the rest of the world could say, look, you know, look what they did. That's a great thing, and we should probably do our version of that, you know. So the first thing that happened on my end of the deal was pretty much all of the sources of income that I engage in switched off like a light. Just boom, gone. And so then you're like, okay, I live very conservatively, monetarily speaking. I got all the stuff I need. I don't need anything else. Honestly, I don't need anything else. I don't need to go anywhere. I don't need to buy anything to feel like my life is like I'm a winner. And even with that regiment, it was tough. I even look back and I'm like, how the hell did I survive, you know? So this thing moves through March, April. I mean, I think I've said in previous episodes, I had clients that said, I got this check in the mail. You know, a few thousand dollars. It's in the mail. They knew this stuff was coming. I mean, they knew, they watched the news as well as we did. And then they had their restaurant shut down. And oddly, that thing that was in the mail already never arrived at my doorstep, which meant obviously the person never mailed it. Now, in hindsight, I'm sort of glad they didn't, because I believe in their business as much as I believe in my own. And it would have been money perhaps well spent, but it would have been spent in a pocket where they weren't able to open up for another 8 months. Okay. So there's financial implications of the last year and a half that are fairly devastating to several families, millions and millions of families everywhere where this thing hit. Now, some people had jobs where they were never going to be touched. Maybe they're in some essential business, and so they still got the income coming in as low or as high as it is, right? But something happened in May, because the company I work with to do a lot of my 3D, the CEO just said, you know what? I'm going to ignore all this stuff. I'm going to ignore all this, and I'm going to pretend like this isn't occurring. And I am going to reach out to all my clients that I have. I'm going to try to find new ones. And I'm just going to block out all this stuff. I'm not going to watch all this crazy stuff. And this person is very, very awake. So even with all of the data that we have, this person has all that stuff and was able to just say, you know what? I'm picking the next second of my life, and I'm going to pick a second where I make money and my business flourishes. And to fast forward, by the beginning of this year, that person had made more money for their company, which was probably 5 years old, than they had ever made in the history of their company. And this is not a company that you would think would make a lot of money. They're not doing anything that's related to the crisis at hand, where they're selling something that somebody, everybody needs. Nope. It was an attitude change that brought it all back online. Now, I think some of you know I write film. My agency laid off 60% of their staff, which is primarily interns. Yeah, my agent went all the way to the end of the year, kept pushing one of my scripts, which the head writer dude who approves all scripts kept hanging on and hanging on to it. At the end of the year, he said, look, I love my salary, but I drive 3 hours to get here, 3.5 hours to get here every day. So you need to greenlight this film. Otherwise, I don't want to renew my contract. So he put his whole career on the line for a film that I wrote. And the guy said, look, I'd love to, but we're going into hiatus at the end of the year and Hollywood is shut down. So my agent left. So that goes on pause too. Now imagine having your script at the biggest writing agency in Los Angeles, surviving 28 other scripts getting thrown away, and mine's right on the desk, man. In fact, my agent took it out of his office once to make a copy for some other people, and that dude ran out of the room and went, give me that back, boom. I still haven't received a call, and that was 8 months ago. So even if you have all your ducks in a row, sometimes fate has a different plan for you, right? And I'm not a big believer in determinism, but I definitely believe, you know, there's a certain path for things. And as long as you, again, stay focused, you can, things will still turn out. It just happens a different way than you think. And that's a tough pill to swallow, man. It takes 2.5 years roughly to get a script through an agency. It just does. From the second you hand it in and they like it, 2.5 years before you'll actually sign that deal. 2.5 years, man. Think about it. So because of this delay last year, it's been there now 2.5 years, but you have to subtract out about 10 months, maybe even a year. It's been delayed because of that. So for years and years, I have made a fairly decent income doing engineering, software engineering, design, user interface design, back-end coding, front-end coding, the whole thing, designing gigantic websites, I mean, big ones. Well, that industry has completely changed. I think the technology that they're using is really bad these days, and they're trying to solve a bunch of problems that really no one has. Plus, the workforce has gotten much younger than my age. So I'm looking at my prospects. I'm sitting there going, now, wait a minute. I've been an artist my whole life. I've done 3D off and on for 30 years. Last four prior to last year, or around last year, I had about 4 years of getting into this product called Blender. Now, this isn't going to be a big career review of my own, but I just want to show you the things I had to do and the decisions I made to survive. Because you're going to have your own version of this potentially. I mean, hopefully you're gainfully employed and everything's cool. But if they go into another cycle at the end of this year or in a couple weeks here where we're looking like last year when things got bad, these little tidbits might be really valuable for you, right? So I'm looking at this product and I'm thinking, man, I love this product. I get into it and I absolutely just fall in love with all the processes, but I don't know it fluently like I know everything else in the kind of 2D world, all the Photoshop stuff, Illustrator, that kind of thing. So I hunker down. Last March, I start buying classes online, blendermarket.com. $50 here, $75 there, $20 there. Dude's just teaching you how to do something from animation to modeling to better modeling to, I bought a whole class on 50 things that can throw you off and make things bad and to how to fix it. And I just devour these courses. I did that intro last year for the show. That was a project I assigned myself. Prior to that, I did another project, which was modeling a boombox from LL Cool J's first album called Radio. So I took this JVC radio and I totally modeled it, researched it, all this other stuff. So I'm challenging myself out of thin air. There's no one in the room going, you have to do this or else. And it worked. Slowly over time, I continued to, you know, assign projects to myself. The company that I do work with, because the CEO decided to take a different tact with life and just ignore all this stuff, they blow up. So more gigs come in. Not quite enough to pay all the bills, you know, comfortably, but it definitely super duper helped. I didn't get any of that aid money last year. I got one little payment in $600 last December. I got friends of mine who are dead getting those payments. It's crazy. I qualify for all that stuff. Okay. So I work. I create portfolio pieces. I do objects that I don't have to do. I do product renderings that no one's paying me to do. I work on hotels and restaurants and shopping malls and all this kind of stuff. Building a portfolio, doing it as cheap as I possibly can to get more work, to pay the bills, okay? Undersold my talents quite a bit just to make a name for myself. But now I got a little portfolio. Now I'm starting to get referrals. Okay. I also learned the business side of that whole thing, from architectural renderings to product renderings to logo design, design of all kinds. It's pretty cool. But everyone else is suffering around the outside, right? Now, the financial one is different. I mean, it's its own distinct thing, I should say. And again, the think tanks around the world that are handling all of this stuff at the executive level and above, they really, really, really are going to be pushing in the next 5 years plus. It's going to be 5 years of incubation because they've completed probably 10 years of thinking about it. And then this is just going to be the new norm. And it's not necessarily bad. And I'm not talking about the norms that you've probably just thought about just now. But they're going to get the entire world in this self-education mantra. Always be teaching yourself something new. Always be taking your skills to the next level. Now, of course, we know that corporations are there to exploit those skills. They're going to pay you one rate, and obviously they're going to charge higher for your service. That's the only way you keep the doors open and have your benefits and all this other stuff, vacation pay and stuff. So some of that's just the way it works, man. If you want to run your own company, brace yourself. You'll work harder than you ever worked for anybody else, right? When you start doing the self-education thing, you do start creating new frontiers for yourself. And it just depends on whether or not you're an entrepreneur or not as to whether or not you can work for yourself. Because you got to get yourself out of bed. You're going to hustle, which means find clients, constantly be shaking hands. You're going to have your little pitch, your little elevator pitch, right? Imagine you're only going to go up 2 or 3 floors with somebody in an elevator, and the guy that can hire you, the girl that can hire you is right next to you, and you got to say, hey, how you doing? Aren't you so-and-so? Yeah. You do that kind of work. Well, I do that too, you know? Maybe we can work together really quick. Oh, yeah? What kind of stuff have you worked on? You got to name your clients. Boom, boom. Well, I've done hotels and stuff, and you know, we're starting to get bigger and better clients, and got a good team, and right in Orange County, you know, no problem. I'm the single point of contact for everything, so I make sure everything gets done, and I do a lion's share of the work personally. My mantra is, or my MO, I should say, is that I always take the client for the very first time. I don't have anybody to sub it out to right now, but if I were to onboard a couple contractors underneath me, I do the client first. And then if, for instance, I'm an A player who hires other A players, then I'll hire someone that has a totally separate set of skills that I don't have, and I make them prove to me their prolificness. We check their budgets, and then we ship checks out to them and get it back, right? Get back to work. Try not to work too far away. Try not to work with people too far away from where I live, because then you can get into some pretty precarious situations, right? So the thing that's kind of tough for folks is to accept the fact that you're going to have to educate yourself into something new. I have friends of mine that I know are extremely talented and smart and can do it, but their attitude has been the old classic method, which is learn one thing and that's it. And when I say, you know, well, maybe we should teach you something new, they're younger than me, man. And they'll say, well, that's you. You can do that. I can't do that. And I'm like, what? What are you talking about, man? No, you just haven't done it before. You know, stop selling yourself short. I've got other folks I'm working with that are younger than me by a smidgen, and they're taking to it like a fish in water, man. It's fantastic. And sure, they're not super experts on the first couple exercises, but they've been able to blow themselves away in the meantime. And because I'm constantly moving forward, when we meet once a month, we sit down together, review things, and I take them to the next level, solve little problems for them, answer questions, that kind of thing. So this is something that the sooner you get into this mode, the less hassle and turbulence you're going to encounter as you move forward. Again, right now, we have a bunch of businesses that every time they shut down businesses due to this thing, you're out of work. You're not in control of your life, right? And so sometimes that's all you can do right at this very moment. But if you take that downtime and all of your downtime when you come home and you spend it learning something new, the beautiful thing is that as soon as that other thing happens and you know your employer can't employ you anymore, you might be able to start reaching out to folks. You should probably start reaching out as soon as you possibly can, meaning as soon as your skills are good enough to do something very basic. And that doesn't have to, and that's very important. You don't have to have expert skills all the time to do work in a particular area. The other one is to reach out to your friends, have conversations. You know, well, what are you working on? Is there anything I can do to help you? Man, you'll find some weird thing. When I first moved from Northern California to Southern California, here I'm this big electronic arts executive making tons of cash. And I came down to Huntington Beach and I had money in the bank, but it was just burning up, man. It was burning up fast. And I ended up eating pizza at this dude's place. He and I became friends. I bumped up his website. He made the biggest catering gig of his life at that point. And he offered me a position to manage his restaurant in the evening hours when I would wake up and just prior to like working all night. So I do that and make sure everything was good. He invited me to help cater, just catering gigs, weddings and other parties and that kind of stuff. And had a great time, man. Never would have thought I was designing EA.com and then I'd be serving pasta, you know, in the next life. It was a real fun. I never worked in food before. So for me, it was like, there's no job too small. This is life. This is an adventure. And I have to say, you know, he would give me as much money as he could afford to give me. And it was great. It was just a really cool tick. You know, here's a couple hundred bucks every week or whatever. And I just go pay the electric bill or whatever. So when I bottomed out cash wise, which then again, a couple of years later, I started a video game company, which then blew up. But man, I was sitting here, you know, wondering how I was going to pay a bill, not knowing that, you know, in 2 or 3 years, I'd have several hundred thousand dollars in a business account trying to figure out how to get rid of it, you know? So life goes up and down, man. And, you know, I think if you're in a world where that doesn't happen to you and is not going to happen to you, then you made some really good choices in your life, let me tell you. And that's why when I talk to people from my hometown every once in a while and, you know, they're in a little tiny town and they may be envious of something I've done, but I'll say, look, you got the house, right? Yep. You got your 2 cars, right? You got your 4 kids. Yep. And you're in debt. Nope. No, not in debt. You got a good job with the school, with the city, or some business, your own business, someone else's business. Don't worry about California and all the fancy stuff that we do out here. It's lonely at the top and it's tumultuous at the top. It's a machine that grinds up your flesh and spits you out like once every, you know, 10 years. And you're like going, what am I going to do with my life sort of thing, right? They have retirement just by sitting in their home and continuing to pay the property tax. Whereas I will get to their age, you know, 70 or whatever, and I'll be like, I don't know if I can afford to live here anymore, you know. Plus, I live in a town that's, you know, average speed limit's 30 miles an hour, 20 downtown. And so when they get older and they're driving around their cars, there's no threat to their life if their minds get a little slower, right? I live in a place where speed limit's 45, but everyone's going 65, you know. So getting old here is brutal. And I don't know how it's done. I think you have to be born here to know how this place gets old. Like, you had to have seen other people get old in this area. But even the people who were living here 50 years ago, there were orange groves right across the street from my house for miles. This is all farmland. This is one of the first communities built, this track I'm on right now. And so even their world's different now that they're getting older. The lessons that they learned, the wisdom that they learned doesn't really apply today, right? So let's go to a different subject and let's talk about your health a little bit. I start to sound like Dave from X-22. Let's talk about your prostate. So, you know, I'm trying to think about the best way to say this. I obviously didn't live in the 1800s, but having grown up in prairie land and had the teachers read us tons of books, historical books from that era, the interesting thing is you learn that, you know, society was very, very basic, that these people, one, lived really long lives in the 1800s. And I know this because I say this every once in a while. I took a death and lit class in high school. And one of the things we did, we went down to the local morgue that had been there for 150 years. And we got to look at the death book. And it's a ledger of a person's name, the day they died, and how old they were, and whether they were male or female. And I'm telling you, the lowest age I think I saw in this book was like 83, but that was a stretch. Most people were hitting 95 to 105. So this whole hoopla that we lived a lot shorter lives, yeah, maybe back in the dark ages or something, but No, it's not true. 150 years ago, we had basic foods. Food was not a fancy thing that you got to go out and entertain yourself with your mouth. If there was a birthday, maybe you got a cake. It was a little tiny cake, and the whole family had to share it. Talking to a buddy of mine who's 72, who grew up in Michigan, he said that his family were such farmers in Michigan that he goes, his mom and his grandmother would only go to town to get some basic supplies about every other month, right? So they were living good. They were living organic. It was cool. But the cool thing about today is that, one, because of this thing that's occurred, we've learned a lot of medical science that, or I should say a lot of medical science is spilled over to the masses, at least those who are being cautious. It's spilled over to the masses, and people know a lot more than they ever did about their bodies. There's great channels on YouTube like Chubby Emu, E-M-U. It's this Asian doctor guy. He's fabulous. He makes these videos that will teach you about your body, teach you about the chemistry of your body, how your body functions. It would be, had I watched this when I was like 10 to 12 years old, I would know so much more about the human body by the time I was 15. I mean, how your body absorbs chemicals and stores sugars, and how your glands work, and how your kidneys work, and how they're even made up physically. So the cool thing is if you want to live a healthier life, it's delineated now. You know, they snuck margarine into the houses in the 70s. They put cigarettes in our lives in the previous century as like medicine, man. And so we were being sold a bill of goods for a long time. And there's always something being sold to you that's not good for you. One of the things that the Chubby Emu guy does, and I totally recommend you guys go over and subscribe to his channel on YouTube, there's a lot of kids that do little experiments for us, little clinical studies for us, and it's called like a viral video online, where someone is, it's almost like a sick joke. Someone will create a challenge that could kill you. Eating a whole jar of cayenne pepper or something, you know. And these kids will do it, not thinking about their health, but thinking about whether or not they're going to get a million views on something because they, you know, they want that stardom. And they they end up in the emergency room, and this is what he covers. He double blinds the person's name. He takes you through the whole case. And it's not just kids, it's adults and stuff, but fasting too much. And then this one girl fasted for an entire week and then ate 10 pounds of bananas. And ended up absorbing all the potassium and the sugar from the bananas into her cells, such that when she ended up in the hospital unconscious, where they couldn't talk to her and ask her what she did, her potassium and sugar levels were low, so they gave her more. And so when this stuff finally started getting pushed into her bloodstream, she was hyper instead of hypo. Hypo meaning low. She was hypoglycemic. It was just really bad. So you can get on a really good track, but you want to obviously everything in moderation. And I'll just tell you a nice little trick. It's a little story that you can use for things that aren't poisonous. When they teach our people how to survive, our soldiers how to survive in environments that they have never been in before, or if you're a big hiker, you'll typically hear this or read this. Let's say you had, you know, a limited amount of food or something, and so you're trying to eat things in the wild, berries, mushrooms, things that you know have species that can kill you. So the regimen is always to eat a tiny bit of something. And I mean just, you know, maybe like an eraser head version quantity of it, and then sit and wait and feel your body. And eat a little bit more and sit and wait and feel your body. If you do not get sick, then it's probably safe. If you have multiple people in your camp, you know, take the strongest men and have them do this, and you all look at each other. How do you feel? You know, one guy may be like, oh my God, my stomach feels horrible. And you may not be getting it, but they're getting it, so you guys shouldn't eat that thing. And then you need to learn what the hell you ate and make sure, because there's berries that look the same and they're not, right? So think about that when you start changing your diets. You don't have to worry about things being necessarily poisonous out of a grocery store or something, but you can definitely introduce a new food that you don't typically eat, and then just watch how your energy levels either go up or down. whether or not you have any ill effects from it, right? So there's obviously, you know, foods and or vitamins and minerals you can get out of foods, but then there's supplements that you can take as well. And again, in my home, the big regimen is vitamin C and zinc copper. Because of this thing that happened last year, I learned that zinc is a huge inhibitor of viral replication. And so that's a good thing, right? You got something viral in your body. It could be any one of those things that are out there. Well, you just take a little bit of zinc every day. If you think you're fighting something, you can take a couple a day. Don't overdo it. It doesn't take that much. I take zinc copper together because copper fights zinc absorption and zinc fights copper absorption. So you take them at the same time and you tend to absorb more. Sunlight. We know sunlight's good for you. Now, staying outside in prime, you know, high noon when you're living in Arizona, it's 115 out. You got to be careful. Okay. Moderation, right? So you know your body better than anybody else, right? So right now, though, this would not be a good time to abuse your body. It'd be a good time to get yourself in shape like you never have before. And you can get in muscular shape if you want. That's just a choice of your cosmetic look on the outside. Obviously, working your heart, you know, walking, running, you know, everybody in my family who has run lost their knees from different, even non-related relatives that are married into the family. Everyone gets their knees blown out at some point. So that's up to you, whether or not you know you're a runner or not. I have a regiment where I carry my computer everywhere I go. It's probably 15 pounds in the bag. From the power supply, the laptop itself, plus the backpack and other crap I just keep in there. So I'm always lifting this bag from all different directions, you know. And I tell you what, it's this little barbell that I've got around myself at all times. And so there's just a little bit of that. Getting decent sleep. Everybody needs a different amount of sleep. You know what works for you. You don't want to sleep too much and you don't want to sleep too little. But now, why do I mention that in a crisis video? The big thing is this. If you are to come down with anything, because they've got us all paranoid that everything that you get is this particular thing, right? If you're sitting there at home and you don't feel so well, and you are really, really healthy, then you have, one, the most mathematical chance of defeating anything that you have. Doesn't really matter how old you are, up to a point, right? But if you have a lot of ailments and they're basically due to eating too much sugar, eating too much fat, not moving around enough, then you could be a little bit more concerned. Now, again, there's some folks that are in wheelchairs that are tough as nails due to old age and that kind of thing, not someone who's had an injury or something like that. So my suggestion is get yourself as healthy as you possibly can in the coming months. Hopefully you've already done a little bit of that. The big rumor, you know, going around was that last year was going to make everyone very unhealthy. And honestly, I don't know of a lot of data where that happened. Everybody puts on a winter coat typically because we're kind of inside a lot. But I didn't see a tremendous amount of obesity. Even my friends, they ended up working harder outside and lost weight last year, you know. So let's keep that in there. So now let's talk about sort of like world politics a little bit in a very symbolic way, because we don't want to really get ourselves acidically wound up with a bunch of black apples of negativity and, you know, what could happen and that sort of thing. But it's a little bit hard, isn't it? It's a little bit hard. Our biggest challenge that obviously those that are conscious in this world, we think we're seeing a repeat of history where in various areas of the world, there are museums that teach us about the last time this kind of thing happened. And in America, we don't necessarily have a tremendous amount of the museums dedicated to this event, which happened in the fourth decade of last century. But we have it in our textbooks, we have it in our history, and it's on TV constantly. And I will say that even though the specifics can be debated, the message is still very, very clear. You don't want to let someone scare you out of what you're allowed to do in this world, because when you were born into this world, some of us believe you get rights. And those are yours until the day you die, because you are a living being. And most people, regardless of their adaptation of religion, believe that all men are created equal. But it's interesting how they forget that very quickly when authority comes down and starts nipping at their heels. Because there is something called tribalism. And what we are experiencing, in my opinion, is an advanced state of sort of basic tribalism. We know that people are taking various medical procedures and then going online and telling people. What is there, sort of in America, we call it our HIPAA laws. Your medical regimen in your life is your own business, and it is so private and it is so valuable that they've passed laws to protect. Every hard drive in the United States of America has to be protected with encryption. Otherwise, you can't have a clinic because that data is so coveted to you. But nowadays, it's inverted. Now you got to run up online and say what you're doing. And it's really to kind of get a big pat on the back that you're so wonderful in this world. So what was once private is now being pushed out to the world to get a reward, an intellectual reward, right? Well, I don't know about your country, but in this country, it seems to be fairly one-sided that one side of the political spectrum is really, really pushing this stuff, and the other side is sort of, you get some wishy-washy folks that are sort of wolves in sheep's clothing, and then you have individuals who are against it. They believe in your freedoms. Okay, so maybe your concern in the crisis stage that we're in now is like, well, if I completely focus down into my own life and just focus on me, 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 and your family, that something's going to happen over your head that will change the entire planet, and you'll wake up out of your coma, and all of your rights will be gone, and then you will wish that you were totally involved. I'm going to say that you can probably configure things to do both things at the same exact time without injuring either one. Meaning, well, you got to pay your bills. You can't go to your bank, you can't go to your landlord, you can't go to your whatever and say, well, I was worried about all this other stuff, so I don't have any money because I was just watching this stuff all day, ODing on this kind of stuff. Or I went to work and I was so out of my mind, worried about everything. I didn't do my job very well and I got clipped, right? You don't want either one of those things to occur. Now, I've said on this show that I'm sort of in Christmas mode. I'm just waiting to be surprised if something occurs. Because I can be against a lot of stuff, right? But there's not much I can do to affect things. Maybe to make these shows and spread information, spread concepts in your brain. Maybe give you an episode to make you think, and then you think of something different that's not even with the episode, but I massaged your brain a little bit, and so boom, you have some miracle solution for us. And that could really be the case. It could be that you pick the next 10 words to put in a sentence that converts the whole planet, you know? I think Monty Python had a skit in their show called And Now for Something Completely Different. There was a show where, an episode where they created a joke that was so funny, it was lethal. If you just read the joke on a piece of paper, you would die laughing immediately. It was very quick. And so they would convert it into foreign languages like German, and they reenacted like the war. I think the story was is that this was the joke that won the war. It was some fake piece of history, of course. But they would read it in German, that not understanding German, it didn't hurt them. And then all the soldiers would die laughing in the forest. It was a brilliant thing. But the root of that story is really could be related to you communicating something to someone else in a way that's so easy to understand, you advance everybody to the next level. That's what I try to do in my science episodes when I explain ether. I keep refining the definition and refining the definition such that you folks may hear something that goes, oh, that's why it's round. That's how gravity works. Oh, yeah, great, yeah. Doesn't deny God anything. In fact, it shows you the fingerprints of how God works. bringing you closer to true enlightenment instead of being stuck in a paradigm that doesn't advance year to year, but it's the way it is, right? Now, the reason why I stress the Christmas mode thing is because even I, obviously, I'm just like you, I fell into this thing where we were told an event was going to occur that would be biblical, was going to change the world for the better, and that nothing could stop what was coming. Okay, maybe that occurs. Maybe it doesn't. Doesn't mean that the bad plan is going to 100% execute the way they wanted to. I think we can look back on any one of the events that we think these same sort of individuals have orchestrated. It didn't happen the way they wanted it to. It left a lot of traces behind. And the more you rapid fire your bad plans and you're having to, you know, where you should be planning things to not get caught, the more that they have to speed up their plan, the more they get caught. The other thing is if you try to move too fast, society won't accept it, and then you're going to get giant protests with 10,000 to 100,000 people walking in the streets of England and Paris and all this other stuff. Whether or not that makes change, I don't know. I haven't seen that work in my lifetime. You know, I don't even think, you know, they didn't stop the Vietnam War in the United States just because millions of people protest the United States. It really didn't change much. So, if anything, soldiers that were stuck in the game, not knowing what they were getting into, got treated really poorly when they came home. You know, you could say it was their fault, but I mean, come on, you're 18 years old, you don't know what's going on, you don't have career prospects, you join the military and you come home, someone spits in your face. I mean, come on, not good. But we get addicted to the updates, don't we? Did somebody say something today? Did so-and-so say something today? What did Dave say? What did this other channel say? And this other channel that's had good information in the past, I just want a little bit of something so I can sleep at night. Well, let me ask you. Was it Confucius that said if a tree falls on the forest, and no one's there to hear it, does it make any sound, right? Well, I'm assuming that if you could run for office, you're running for office. If you could donate money to someone that is impacting the world, you would have donated it. Or you're doing that already, you know. You've done it, or you're doing it on a monthly basis to some politician or something. Okay. So you're doing your part. But the more you focus on your life, the more money you'll have most likely to give to other people to do whatever you support, right? All right. I've had to detox out of a lot of this stuff. People forward me stuff all day long, man. And I mean, not just the listeners, man. If I leave the Facebook page chat for my Deep Thoughts account for 1 week, I've got 20 people sending videos and funny memes and stuff. I love the memes because they're funny and make me laugh. But, you know, it'll be stuff I've already seen, or it'll be a 3-hour video. And, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, man. I got to get my work done, my career done. I got to focus. Plus, there's a point when, for instance, I'll give you an example. Okay. There's a point when you know that a car wreck at 100 miles an hour, not a race car that's designed to do that, and a racetrack that's designed to absorb that impact, just a normal old car at 100 miles an hour is pretty lethal. Hell, you can die at 25 miles an hour, right? So you know the car crashes aren't good for you. And you've already learned that. So if someone were to forward you, or you're going to go online and just watch car crashes at 100 miles an hour, and tell you something new about how a car crash can kill you at 100 miles an hour, you're probably good, man. You're probably like, yeah, I know. And yeah, okay, so the rearview mirror went through the guy's forehead in this one. The engine went over someone's body in that one. And it's all gruesome. Don't need to know. I just know I need to drive responsibly and weigh under 100 miles an hour. In this latest round of stuff that we're dealing with, we definitely want the data. We don't want to have folks talking about the science, and we don't have an understanding of it ourselves. It's okay to be skeptical, but if you don't have anything to back up why you are rejecting a particular opinion of somebody else, then you need to get that critical mass, if that's important to you, Go straight for it. Don't worry about anything else around that situation. You're watching a big, maybe a big live chat thing with 10 people taking turns talking on the mic. Well, if some person starts talking about something you're not interested in, just fast forward. Do you see the face change? And then listen to see if that person says anything good. Nope, go to the next person, because life is short. If something is going to occur related to some big event to fix all things, I'm pretty certain that the only thing that we can do is prepare a little bit, take care of our lives. But if something good happens in the world, it's not like there wouldn't be any casualties or, you know, collateral damage of some sort. There probably will be. Maybe, you know, if you're the man and you believe in, you know, this typical responsibilities of a man, then you're going to have to just get the basics together, get the basics worked out, and then put it away wherever it needs to be in your world, and then just go back to the grind. Go back to hopefully your destiny that you're working on. Because what if everything turns out really great, but you didn't invest in you? It could be. Imagine this, okay? Every time there's a paradigm change in the world, there are opportunities. Think about people who got into Bitcoin in 2009 in Brooklyn, New York. They're wealthy today, even if they did a poor job investing in that Bitcoin. Well, that's pretty cool. They trusted the value of those coins in a world where nobody even understood what these things were. Nobody understood blockchain. They took advantage of it. A lot of criminals took advantage of it too. And who knows if they kept their money or not. So if there's going to be a big change, imagine that the thing that you can worry about instead is how would you take advantage of it in a good way? Because let's say they do return the planet to a good state. Okay, what could arrive as a result of that paradigm change? Well, let's say you've been sitting on a concept and you want to get it capitalized. You want to get it moving. You got this invention. But the climate's not so good for that right now. Well, okay, so they fix the economy, they fix a bunch of stuff, money's flying around, and you want to have your investment stack ready to go, which means a bunch of slides in Keynote or PowerPoint or whatever, all thought out and beautifully put together, ready to go. Just have that as an option. But what's really interesting is going back to my colleague in the 3D business who blew up their business. All it was a change of how they picked the next second. And because of my proximity to this person, I did the same thing. Took a little bit longer for me. Because, you know, I don't know, there was just, I've actually been pretty happy this last year and a half, frustrated, obviously, at various outcomes and various things that are occurring. Trust me, just like you. I am fortunate to be in an area of the world that is being more sensible, in my opinion, about the procedures as a result of some of these crises that are going on. We have a little less draconian enforcement of things, such that we're able to maintain our lives. Okay? Could change. Could be different. I went to a fast food restaurant today, and it was sort of a touching little moment. There was a woman walking on the sidewalk, and you know when you want to pull into a restaurant and someone's just about to cross the sidewalk there? And so I stopped, and it was an elderly woman, and she had a bag with her and a mask on, and she, you know, she looked to see if anybody was coming, and I looked at her, and I gave her the thumbs up to go, and she said thank you, and she walks up to the door, and I go to the drive-thru. Well, apparently, in California, with no mandate to do so, this place is no longer letting people in the lobby. There's no mandate anymore. They can go in. They can choose to ask you to do something. But it's not even mandatory to put anything on your face right now. Could be in 2 weeks, but it's not that way now. So this woman's hungry, and she's getting her prescription filled at the drugstore next door. I take it she was on foot the whole time. So she walks up to the speaker to order with a bunch of cars in line, right? And they're not supposed to take your order at those speakers because it's a liability of them walking with cars, right? You can't have that going on. So they wouldn't take her order at that little speaker. And she was upset, and she's elderly, and she kind of had the shakes a little bit. So, but I was the, she let every car go, and then it got to me, and we kind of had this little relationship for me saying, yeah, cross the thing. I got your back, right? And so she looks at me like she goes, you mind if I try to order? I said, no, go right ahead. They wouldn't take her order. So I pull her around. I go, hey, you know, I think the problem is they're concerned about your safety. Oh, okay. She's kind of upset about it. You know, it's ridiculous. I don't know why they wouldn't let me in. So I said, I bet you know what? I said, just walk up to the window after the car in front of me and you just put your order in. I'll wait and I'm sure they'll help you out. Okay. Thank you so much, so much, so much, so much. And she did it. She was so apologetic. Every minute she took of my time, cars behind me are kind of getting upset with her a little bit. But they gave her her food. She walked out front, sat down because they have a little patio area outside, and she ate her food. We're in this tense situation in life, and a little bit of kindness can really just smooth over otherwise explosive situations, right? So a big, big, big part of this whole thing is really treating people better than you've ever treated them in your life. Again, I still can't get out of my head, and I probably will never be able to get out of my head. It seems esoteric, but it's right on point. Shock G, who passed away in April because he got caught up in too many drugs, he did a little video recording downstairs in front of this hotel he was staying in. He was just doing a little selfie video, talking to his fans, and somebody was honking at somebody in the McDonald's drive-thru. We can't see it, but he's like, come on, man, you know, where is he supposed to go? He's in line, man. What's he supposed to do? And he turns around and he goes, man, he goes, this is what I hate about the world. Everyone's so uptight. And he goes, the world's really breaking my heart right now. And this is coming from a, you know, a beautiful soul, a very celestial soul. And he may have chosen to take himself out because it was his last day at that hotel. And it just coincidentally was his last day on earth. But that was a guy that was a platinum artist. Probably was always going to have enough money to survive, but perhaps just kind of looked at the world and said, oh my gosh, you know, this place is not positive anymore. He was in Florida where there wasn't a lot of ridiculous enforcement. So we have to make sure that we rationalize why we're doing our things that we're doing. A big part of it is just to survive as a human being for the time being, right? Remember that whole thing of Walking Dead. I mention this every once in a while, but I'm going to say it again. If you've never seen Walking Dead, I bumped out at season 7 after that catastrophe. First episode with a lot of other folks. Just got gruesome for no reason, right? But the first two seasons, I think, are the masterpieces of that show. But it ends with a debate between two best friends. And the main guy keeps trying to hang on to humanity and making sure they don't all turn into monsters. I mean, not just zombies, but that they don't start acting feral. And his best buddy, who plays the Punisher nowadays, he said, look, man, it's over. That time is over. And if we don't start, you know, being a little bit more black and white, more binary with all of our decisions, we're going to get taken out because we're going to get had. We're going to get cheated, lied to, and, you know, we won't survive. Now, it depends on how spiritual you are in that particular situation as to whether or not you feel like you should continue living in a zombie apocalypse or not. I think that my experience with life has always been the same. But boy, do all of us, including myself, have almost selective amnesia sometimes. And it's like shame on me for having this amnesia, but it goes something like this. A crisis can wipe your brain almost like an MKUltra thing. It can wipe your brain of remembering anything that was good in life. And it can give you this false impression that the current state of affairs is going to stay the same. It's sort of like that Chicken Little story. The sky is falling, the sky is falling, simply because he misinterpreted one little thing. There'll be people, tons of them, who aren't with us anymore. And it's because of this crisis. And let's say that some form of this biblical event occurs. And, in, you know, 5 years or so, instead of everything being really, really bad, it's really, really good. Hell, it could happen in the next 6 months. It could happen in the next 2 months. Now, I know that there's a lot of danger that can happen with trying to hope your way into a better world, but I'm not sure. It depends on where we are. I'm going to get existential on you here. It depends on where we really are right now. as to whether or not the stuff that's around us right now is really happening in a way that isn't kind of a test for all of us. If you could hear my voice and you think you are a real living entity and not some NPC, which is what I assume is the case, then what if this is just to see how you deal with the crisis, right? I've said it in a recent episode, when you write a hero, the line is always, a hero is defined by their actions under pressure. And so one of the things that the internet has destroyed in mankind is having that pregnant pause to analyze the information you're getting. Now, there are definitely rapid fire situations where you're not going to like, is that a bus coming at me? No. Is that a lion coming at me? No, those are fight or flight situations you got to deal with. But we're talking about something that's coming through a television screen, something that's coming through a story from someone else, and trying to parse it to see if it's really a threat to you or to the ecosystem of your life, right? That's what we learned about the 1940s, is that if you let certain events take place and certain excuses lead to certain removals of rights, you can end up in a really bad world super duper fast. And the whole thing is, you know, Bug's Life, right? It is the ants and the grasshoppers thing. It takes a bunch of ants to think that they're subservient to a few grasshoppers. And that's how things get done. As I've said in several episodes, yeah, the world is, at least last year, boy, were they really complicit with a lot of stuff that, you know, didn't make a lot of sense. However, we always need to record in history that all of us didn't know for a really long time, for at least probably 6 months. We really didn't know if this stuff was an imminent threat, because there was an infinite amount of stories, much of stories that weren't true, and videos that were orchestrated to give us false impressions of what this stuff can do to you, coming out of a country that apparently was the distribution center for this thing. Don't know. That may not even be true. Who knows? But in life, we've dealt with a ton of things, haven't we? You wouldn't be an adult if you hadn't. And they can happen to you, you know, as young as just being alive. It seemed like things would never change. And what's funny about it is I think that God kind of designed the world to give us proof this actually doesn't occur. And I give an example. When I was a kid, I definitely had a great life in a lot of areas, right? But there were definitely times when I felt like my brain was way beyond my opportunity. And so the thing was, is that I was kind of sitting there probably, geez, by at least 12, 13 years old, I was thinking, man, this town doesn't have sort of the careers that I want to do. I love this town, but this is never going to fulfill me. And so by the time I was 14, I had learned how to program. I had learned how to move my art skills into digital art. And you know, I started seeing a little future there. And so my dad asked me, I don't know how we got in this car. We were outside washing a car or something. And he goes, well, you're only 14. You don't know anything about what you want to do, which is actually not a bad statement, because typically 14-year-olds don't know that. And I said, I'm going to move to California. I'm going to be a coder. 4 years later, that was true. I was doing that exact same thing. So sometimes you know your destiny early, and sometimes you need to figure it out. But when you're stuck at home, there is this weird thing. You're answering to someone else and you seem like you're a little bit trapped. You've gone through your rite of passage way before you get the right to move out of the house. I mean, there's like laws. It's in America, you got to go to school up to a certain point. And you can drop out and that kind of stuff. When you get off on your own. I guess you can get off on your own. There's all those challenges, man. You're trying to figure it out. And unless you got parents just floating you cash 24/7 or you're a rich kid, which is not most of us, then you went through all those challenges. You worried about bills and they still got paid. So sometimes you got to go talk to the bank and say, okay, here's the dinner. I'm behind on that thing, but I got this money coming in and you'll be just fine here real shortly. You got to do that sometimes, man. So it works itself out and you'll build yourself up with your speculation, your black apple speculation, where visions are coming from outside your consciousness that aren't your thoughts, presenting to you all of this negative, just the worst case scenarios. You'll see the worst version of yourself when you look inside this mirror of like satanic, demonic version of yourself. It's not even you. Those aren't thoughts you had. You're just looking at it. And then when it seems to make sense in your mind, until you realize that's a process that happens that you have to shun, you have to go, "Whoa, get away from me. That's not me. Get away from me. I don't even think that way. I've never done anything like that in my entire life." You'll get more control of your life. Now, I'm just me. I didn't join the military. I was going to, and then I learned how to code. And there was no wars again when I was of recruitment age. But I mean, imagine being a soldier and you're listening to me and you're like, "Well, I'm actually could be currently enlisted. You could be recently, you know, finish your term." And so you have a military mind to go, "Well, I would really like to participate in anything biblical." I would say if they need you, they will get you. There's a dude 1 year younger than me who got activated 2 years ago. Posted on Facebook, he's been activated and he's going to disappear for a little while. And everyone's like, What are you doing? And he says, "I can't tell you." So there is stuff going on, man. I mean, I wouldn't believe, again, all these crazy stuff online. It's just really you got to disengage not only from things that you think might be wholeheartedly untrue, but you got to disengage from the rumor mill on the side that you think you're on, right? Because boy, are they trying to take advantage of this stuff. It's unbelievable. There's I forgot the name of it. It's this crazy website. It'll tell you that people are dead that show up on camera, you know, on live streaming television from the White House or from like the Congress or whatever. And you're like, please. How many times do you listen to people that lied to you? How many times? 10 times. And they make all these excuses. "Well, that's actually pre-recorded video and blah, blah, blah." It's like, I don't think so. It's live, dude. And it's coming in from every streaming service on planet Earth, including the ones that you think you're on, right? Or the ones that you think you side with. There is a game to consume you, right? All those little games that we play on our phones or whatever, YouTube itself can just suck your life down. Think about back to my whole thing about self-education and re-education. That is going to be the way of the future. And it put it this way, so you don't see this as a negative thing in any realm whatsoever. Let's say that the world didn't go bad. It never went bad. It was a Star Trek Gene Roddenberry socialism actually worked world that we live in. And it's euphoric, right? It's a utopia. Well, you might say, "Well, in that world, I just would like to learn one thing and never do anything else." Well, hopefully that one thing you do elates you to the maximum every single day. It feels like your destiny. And I do know a lot of folks that work just to get the paycheck, and then their personal life is their elation. And that's good too. But you can configure your life to have both sides of the hemisphere, your self, work, and family, all just jiving really, really well. But I think that this self-education and re-education thing and continuing educational regimens that they're going to be focusing on a lot. One, coincidentally, it's been my life, okay? So I've lived it. I live it every single day of my life. I wouldn't have the career I have now if I hadn't done it last year. Been really super duper focused. So I can vouch for it. But I think this would be sort of a Starfleet Academy kind of lifestyle. Sure, you could get on the Enterprise and you can go make a show. But what if you're on Earth, you know, and just education's free and you can just change your mind? You can do the job you're doing right now and go to the courses and it's all paid for because it's all euphoric society and you were building something and then you realize when you cook at home, you're getting told by your family, you're an amazing chef. And so they're like, "Man, maybe I should go get into culinary things," or your little doodles turn into illustrations, turn into something. Oh, now you got the medium of paint. Well, no one even paints anymore. You could do it digitally. You could do it with gouache, oil, acrylics, whatever. And you're creating works of art now. And believe me, there's nothing more amazing than looking at your finished artwork. But that could be anything in the world. Build a cabinet. Edit your own documentary together using stock footage and all kinds of stuff online. used to be, you know, making a documentary was almost inconceivable back in the 80s and 90s, unless you had a big editing bay. Where were you going to get all your stock footage from? Well, it's all online now, man. It's all online. What are my episodes on the moon? They're little documentaries, aren't they? Lots of video, lots of pictures, that sort of thing. So towards the end of this episode, I want to guide your brain to certain destinations where the crisis starts to kind of just go to a little hum. And hey, if they repeat something that they did last year, yes, you can get all riled up about it. You can. And that's going to start consuming you. It's going to start renting space in your mind. And it will take away from your destiny. And there's a part of us that just simply says something like, I just want it to go away. I just want it to go away from my little influence, my little circle of influence. Okay, well, let's say that God comes down and just quiets your room, quiets the house that you're living in, the apartment you're living in. So you're doing well. Okay. Now you got to have something to put inside that circle. And that's where all of this stuff comes in. You want to be as healthy as you can be in that circle. You want to have something you can do in that circle. Could be your family and all that kind of stuff. But you're also going to have to bring in some money, most likely, unless you're totally wealthy. Okay, we got that circle as well. You want to enjoy your work. Let me put it positively. You want to enjoy your work. Because when you don't enjoy your work, well, then that's kind of like a little negative little cyst inside your mind, right? You don't want that. There's that saying, and you guys have started to say it in the comments, and God bless you. You're starting to say, and a lot of people are starting to say, I'm not buying what they're selling. Okay, that's awesome. Now, just to kind of do kind of a check on, do you need to participate in the overall expression of discontent for what's going on in the world? Well, maybe you feel like you do. We all get there. We all feel like we do. I play games with some of that stuff. I'll try to say funny things to make people think backwards. Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm seeing this from a different perspective. That's the only thing I ever try to do. I'm so gagged everywhere I go online that no one ever sees my replies or sees anything that I say. It's just funny. But if you were to go up on, say, Twitter and look around, I don't care what side of the fence you're on, your side is being represented 1,000% by millions and millions and millions of people. So, it's an ocean and you've got your little bottle of water and you're gonna change the whole ocean by going out there and going drip, drip, drip. You're not going to change much. You don't need to because there are millions of boats out there. With all the watercolor, and they're dropping their dye into the ocean, and it's going to change its color one way or the other. Plus, there's people, if you consider yourself to be active for your movement for a really long time, the benefit is that you can really go take a break. It's like a relay race, right? What do? You get the little baton, you run it to the next person, you hand it over. Someone else grabs it and goes. Well, guess what? If you've been alive, been what we might refer to as awake for the last couple of years, you can definitely go take a break. And you know why? Because every single day, another million people come on board. And they're out there just boom, boom, boom. They're doing what you did 2 years ago. So pass the baton. Focus on you for just a little bit. In terms of the crises, well, if you're a person of faith, then this is your test. There's that beautiful story in the Bible about Jesus crossing, I believe, the Mediterranean Sea, right? He's asleep, and his disciples are in this crazy storm, and the storm's going nuts, and it looks like they're going to die because the waves just keep getting more violent, and the boat just keeps tossing up and down, right? Rembrandt did this amazing painting of the moment. And eventually, they get so freaked out, they wake up Jesus, and they're like, hey, you got to do something, man. We're about to die. And, he's ye of little faith, man. He snaps his fingers and boom, the water goes absolutely still. The boat's okay. And he just says, look, when are you going to actually use the faith that you say you have in me? Right? So whether or not that guy existed or not doesn't really matter. As long as you learn the lesson and really have a perspective of where you are in this universe? Do you believe in a higher force? Well, there's two ways to look at it. If they've got some disgusting plan for the world, I guess we'll be together in a different place soon enough. If this thing is going to occur, this big event that's going to occur, well, great. Then we'll be here in a better place. Either way, we're okay. But there are obviously immediate bumps. But I will say, too, another big thing I put in my friendship episode, which no one ever watched, I don't blame you, is it's at the website on the other channel for season one. But I made a distinction between acquaintances, friends, and sort of best friends, and then family, right? I think all those groups have to earn your loyalty. I don't care. Blood doesn't run thicker than friendship for me. If someone in the family is being a jerk, there's no defending the jerk. If you're a jerk and you keep robbing banks and you keep bringing your ass to my house to try and hide out so that I go to jail for harboring a criminal, I'm keeping the door locked. See you later, man. Stop fucking robbing banks, right? But your acquaintance is someone you simply met once. You barely see them. You know very little about them, and your average conversation with them is maybe once or twice a year. Your friend is someone you rely on, right? Someone you can go to for anything, emotional, whatever. Your best friend, well, that's the person that's just has the only distinction being a best friend / friend because they don't have blood with you, but they're really your family. I would say this. If you are suffering in any way, shape, or form, reach out to everybody you know and try to get supplements for what you need, you know? If you're going to lose your house, lose your car, you just need $200, $300, you know, definitely reach out to people because this is where they define themselves to you, is crisis is occurring and they're there for you. Now, maybe that everybody's strapped, you know? I recently had a friend of mine get played by a guy who pretended to be his friend, and he'd known him for 30 years, and he borrowed a bunch of money to keep his house, and then he sold the house, and then he was just poof, gone with all the money. Won't return any phone calls now. So definitely use your senses, use your spidey senses to make sure you're not getting played if you're the philanthropist in that equation. And try to be very honest if you're going to be on the receiving end of anyone's generosity as to whether or not you're going to be capable of ever paying them back. It's probably best to say, like, had this guy told my friend, look, man, I'll get you back, but it's probably going to be a long time. But he should have said, you know, if I sell my house, I get all that money and I'll take care of you. So the interesting thing is my close friend, he said, look, now I know what he really was. I paid money to find out who that guy really was. So we're in a pickle, right? We're in a strange situation. We have to be dynamic. We have to do things we've never done before. But, you know, when you left your house from your family, didn't you do things you never did before? Wasn't that the game? And wasn't that super exciting when you were in your late teens, early 20s, doing things you never done before? Life was probably a lot easier when that occurred, but just think about it. There are kids coming out of the house right now trying to look for a job, and they're 18 years old going, why should I go to college, man? Where are the jobs when this is all over, when I have $100,000 worth of debt? So let's say that you're past that phase yourself. You have a skill, or two, or three, or four. Well, you're way better off than the young kids that are being destroyed right now, having their educations cut short because of all this craziness that's going on. So if you're fortunate enough to be out of that pocket, you're already doing better than our youngest kids who are supposed to be our best and brightest, right? In which we know they're being attacked constantly. So on one level, you can be disappointed with them personally. On another level, you look at it from a macro view and they're basically being attacked. So the more money you have in your bank because you have focused on your career and your life and you didn't let all this negativity get in, you could maybe help somebody who's willing to put in the effort. And maybe you don't give it all. If they come to you for some cash, you know, you don't give it all to them at once, you know, unless they need a payment or something. But it's like if your kids are out there and you're like, okay, well, I'll give you a little bit of cash. Let's see what you do with it. Be dynamic. Stop playing video games. Stop smoking dope. Go out and do something with it. Tell me about the hustle you're going to get into before I even give you a dime. And sympathize with them. Say, look, I know it sucks. I know it sucks. And strategize with them. Try to help them out, even if it's not your kid. Just say, look, that's what I'm doing to everybody I know. One of my friends, he came visited me just out of thin air, and I was using Blender. And I said, look, man, you should just get this. It's free. He had never heard of it, and he got it, and he was pounding out stuff in a couple weeks, blew himself away. And so things can happen. Just have faith in yourself. I think have faith in the universe. Again, we can't take on the whole burdens of the planet, but that's the kind of game they've been playing. You need to know the news everywhere. If there's a flood one way and a mudslide another place, a hurricane another place, you got to know. Why do you have to know? What are you going to do? You going to snap your fingers like Jesus and make it all go away? No. All you could do is work in this little 10, 20 foot circle that you live in and make it the brightest, most positive place on planet Earth. So hopefully that came through on this episode. If you have not been to deepthoughtsradio.com, it is more important now than ever that you go and bookmark that site. I have rearranged things a little bit to make it easier. There is video alternatives to YouTube. There's BitChute and Odyssey. Odyssey is fantastic. I think it's a very beautiful interface as well. And it's got a little bit of a upload limit, but it's 5 gig upload limit. So whatever I can fit in 5 gig, time-wise, it's there. So it'll be 1080p in both those platforms, which who cares, right? Whether or not it's 4K or not. I'm filming everything in 4K and storing it in 4K. This channel will get on YouTube, will get a little overhaul. I've just got old stuff I need to get rid of that it's not even public to you guys. But since I got in trouble for a video that wasn't even public, I don't even think it was unlisted. You guys couldn't even get to it. I'm just going to get rid of pretty much everything that is in that category. And then we'll just move forward and we'll know when we can put something on this on YouTube and when we can put on other channels. But just get on that site because everything's going to be up there. So if I publish a video that's only going to be on alternate sites, that's where you want to be. Now, obviously, the podcast has never been touched, so I'm very thankful for that. We do have a list of social media places where the stuff gets posted. Getter seems to be working really well now, not having any issues with it. In fact, everything's working really well. Minds.com, 107 Daily, Gab, Minds, all working great. So whatever your brew is, get on over there and get connected. For those of you who want to contact me, it's actually not that hard. One, all those sites I just told you, you can just join or follow or whatever. I think Twitter, I have to follow you before you can send me a private chat, but I don't even know if that's the case. But just get on one of those. I mean, there's a bunch of trusted ones. If you're paranoid, it's fine. Facebook does have a locked Facebook group. So we constantly get thousands of warnings about posts and stuff up there. But there's a way to reach out to me if you want to reach out to me. So there's just tons of ways to get to me. Just get on one of the alternate platforms and it'll actually be more exciting for me. We do have our all-new remastered season one. There's about 194 subscribers over there. It has just about 99 episodes over there that have been all cut down to this kind of new format. So just get in, watch whatever you want to watch, and hop out. Again, the website search engine is perfect. Again, I did retire a bunch of videos, so I may have some holes in the video links on that site at this point. But it was more important that I just get rid of the videos that I don't even care about anymore. When I do special reports, it's because that data may be irrelevant later. And so I can delete them without having holes in my numbering system. So that's why a lot of things come out of special reports. And so a lot of those just aren't important to me. And once you've heard it, you've heard it. But then again, everything's going to sit on BitChute. So if you want to go backwards in time, that's great. The other one is supporting me on Patreon and PayPal. I did update the store with several different shirts. I got some pretty funny ones up there, which I'll tell you what, the shirts that I'm putting together, I've tested them myself. What's cool about them is it starts conversation. And the last two I did were silly ones with the kind of a poop McDonald's sign for propaganda and bullshit. And so you just put that shirt on and anywhere you are, someone's going to go, oh, ha, ha, ha. I'm totally with you. And then boom, you have a conversation and you network. And again, you could network about something you think is true that other people think is false. And then you can get a conversation about business. And then boom, you're making a networking conversation to make money. So anytime you can spawn a conversation that's productive with another human being, it could change your life. Let me just tell you. And why wouldn't you want to meet people in your local area that believe the way you believe? Or learn, because these are so timid that you're probably not even going to get anybody to argue with you. And that's the design concept behind that. I redid the UFO shirt. So it says, let's talk about UFOs, just around the front, with the UFO around the front. So that way you can just walk around. Anybody who believes in UFOs or UAPs, you can, boom, you can have that conversation in 2 seconds. So, but yeah, for those of you who come through PayPal and Patreon, thank you so much. You make it happen. I really appreciate all you folks. Definitely helps out in these weird times. So if you haven't liked and subscribed, please do that. And just remember, if you like one video in Deep Thoughts, you're going to love hundreds of videos most likely. So definitely peruse around. We average usually about 700 views every 48 hours, even if I'm not publishing videos, which I recently had to test for 2 weeks. So that's a pretty good tick, but I will tell you that there's definitely an algorithm against us. I'm now starting to snapshot the subscription metrics off the site, off YouTube, and you can literally see I get a huge bunch of subscribers, which kicks off the algorithm, okay? And then they immediately drop as many as they can, and then the drops and subscriptions are literally, if they get rid of 10, they do 5, and then they do 2. So it's this perfect algorithm that could be proven. So it is very, very real, shadow banning. So if you could spread this site, I would super duper appreciate it. And you can spread them off to Odyssey and BitChute. Doesn't matter. Odyssey, again, plays 100%, but just send them to deepthoughtsradio.com. It'll be their best friend for finding the stuff that they dig. Alien conversations, moon conversations, dream conversations. So there's a bunch of stuff up there. One of our Patreons just realized we had a bunch of dream episodes. So she's off pounding those away. It's really cool. But as always, take care of yourself and someone else, and I'll see you in the next Deep Thoughts. Over now.